Thank you. Adama, lowest of humankind, Bhuteshu, to other living entities, near Anuprosha, without compassion, Nirvana, for the kings, Tat Avyam, Vada, killing, Avada, not killing. Translation, any cruel person, be he a man, woman, or impotent eunuch, who is only interested in his personal mate, who has no compassion for other living entities, may be killed by the king. Such killing can never be considered actual killing. Wherefore, the planet Earth is actually a woman in her constitutional form, and as such, she needs to be protected by the king. Prithu Maharaj argues, however, that if a citizen within the state, be he man, woman, or eunuch, is not compassionate upon his fellow man, he or she may be killed by the king, and such killing is never to be considered actual killing. As far as the field of spiritual activities is concerned, when a devotee is self-satisfied, does not preach the glories of the Lord, he is not considered a first-class devotee. A devotee who tries to preach, who has compassion upon innocent persons who have no knowledge of Krishna, is a superior devotee. In his prayer to the Lord, Prahlad Maharaj said that he was not personally interested in liberation from this material world. Rather, he did not wish to be liberated from this material condition until all fallen souls were delivered. Even in the material field, if a person is not interested in others' welfare, he should be considered to be condemned by the personality of God, that is, incarnation like Prithu Maharaj. You are very much puffed up with pride and have become almost insane. Presently, you are assumed the form of a cow by your mystic powers. Nonetheless, I shall cut you into small pieces like grain, and I will uphold the entire population by my personal mystic powers. Therefore, the earth informed King Prithu that if he destroyed her, he and his subjects would all fall down into the waters of the Garbha ocean. King Prithu now replies to this point. Although the earth assumed the shape of a cow by mystic powers in order to be saved from being killed by the king, the king was aware of this fact and would not hesitate to cut her to pieces, just like small bits of grain. As far as the destruction of the citizens is concerned, Maharaj Prithu maintained he could uphold everyone by his own mystic powers. He did not need the help of the earthly planet. Being the incarnation of Lord Vishnu, Prithu Maharaj possessed the power of Shankarshad, which is explained by the scientists as the power of gravitation. The Supreme Personality of God is holding millions of planets in space without any support. Similarly, Prithu Maharaj would not have had any difficulty supporting all his citizens and himself in space without the help of the Earth planet. The Lord is known as Yogeshwar, master of all mystic powers. Consequently, the Earth planet was informed by the king that she might not worry about his standing without her help. At this time, Prithu Maharaj became exactly like Yamaraj, and his whole body appeared very angry. In other words, he was anger personified. personified. Upon hearing him, the planet Earth began to tremble. She surrendered and with folded hands began to speak as follows. Report the Supreme Personality of God and His death personified to mysteries and the Supreme Beloved to the devotees. In Bhagavad Gita, the Lord says, Mrityu Savaharas Chaham, I am all devouring death. Faithless unbelievers who challenge the appearance of God will be delivered by the Supreme Personality of God when He appears before them as death. Hiranyakasipu, for example, challenged the authority of the Supreme Personality of God, and the Lord met him in the form of Shrimadev and killed him. Similarly, the planet Earth saw Maharaj Prithu as death personified, and she also saw him in the mood of anger personified. Therefore, she began to tremble. One cannot challenge the authority of the Supreme Personality of God in any circumstance. It is better to surrender unto him and take his protection at all times. Any cruel person, be he man, woman, or impotent eunuch, who is only interested in his personal maims and has no compassion for other living entities, may be killed by the king. Such a killing can never be considered actual killing. You are very puffed up with pride and have become almost insane. Presently, you have assumed the form of a cow by your mystic powers. Nonetheless, I shall cut you into small pieces like grains, and I will uphold the entire population by my personal mystic powers. So here, Prithu concludes his threat to Earth in the form of the cow. So because Earth is a woman, she has already pleaded that you shouldn't harm a woman. Elders, children, women, people who surrendered should not in any way be harmed. So using that aspect of Dharma, she has argued. So Prithu argues back with another point. Even if one is a woman or anyone, if one is merciless to other living entities, then that person can be killed. So we have different rules of Dharma and different rules in general which are applicable in certain circumstances. And because of all the rules, it becomes difficult to judge what is right and what is wrong. So we can apply, raise one rule, but some can object with another rule taken from the Shastras. And in this way, someone else can raise another rule this way and that way. So that, of course, is not uncommon, even in modern law or whatever. There are so many laws. You can raise one law or another law and make a point. So that is so with the Smriti Shastra and the laws of Dharma. They're not simple laws. There are many factors to consider in all cases. So the same takes place in Bhagavad Gita, where Arjuna argues one point and then Krishna replies with another point. I shouldn't kill because I won't destroy population of the earth, etc. And then Krishna answers that. That you're not the body anyway, so don't mind. So, arguments are there from all points of view. Some of the arguments can be given from Dharma itself. Some of the arguments can be given from a higher perspective. In other words, we can use Gyan to counteract Dharma. Gyan is higher. So, from the point of view of Jnana, those arguments are higher. And that is the strategy of Krishna in Bhagavad Gita. Arjuna talks of Dharma, and then Krishna talks of Jnana. Rule of Jnana is higher. So nobody dies, so why worry about killing? So in this way, not only laws of Dharma must be considered, but higher laws, the laws of Jnana, must be. And, of course, higher than that are the laws of bhakti. So bhakti is the highest. And for that reason, sometimes Dharma looks contradicted. For instance, Yudhisthira would say, tell a lie and say that Ashwatthama is dead. Yeah? So the Dharma, because he's incarnate Dharma, he says, no, I cannot tell a lie, and he hesitates. But if the Lord orders, then that is a higher principle. So, in the same way, he tells Arjuna to fight in the battle of Kurukshetra. So, of course, you can argue from Dharma or whatever, but the highest aspect, because Krishna orders from the point of view of bhakti, the devotee will follow. That's all. So that is a higher principle than all the rules of Dharma or whatever. So, in all of these arguments, one must be aware of the different levels of truth. So for normal world, of course, we use the laws of Dharma and we don't go beyond that. But ultimately, sometimes we may get stuck, we get confused. So therefore, there are higher principles, the law of principles of jnana and principles of bhakti. So the highest principle is that is bhakti. And generally, of course, there is a correspondence between, they're not completely contradictory terms. In other words, one is advised to be compassionate in Dharma. So there's no contradiction in jnana that one should be non-compassionate or cruel, or in bhakti that one should be cruel. In all cases, one should be compassionate. So the different levels are not contradictory to each other in all cases, but importance is given to other principles. So, in Dharma, importance is given to the gunas, and ultimately to sattva guna for Brahmins, and for Kshatriyas, then Rajaguna is stressed, and for Sudras, Tamaguna. They have different rules for different people because of that. And of course, all of this is connected with the material body. Whereas in jnana, opposite. The material body is useless, so that's rejected. So everything is taken from the perspective of the Atma. And that is what Krishna preaches to Arjuna in Bhagavad Gita. All this dharma is all to do with body. But actually, higher than that is you should understand you're not the body. And then that solves your problem. So, that is the principle in jnana, the Atma is emphasized. And in bhakti, what is emphasized is devotion to the Supreme Lord. And even though we are Atma, the emphasis is upon devotion to the Supreme Lord. So because of devotion to the Supreme Lord, the devotee does different activities in the world. And he is unaffected by the laws of Dharma. So therefore it is said, one who follows bhakti need not follow the laws of Dharma. That doesn't mean he contradicts Dharma, but because the rules may be the same in bhakti and in Dharma, but he is more interested in simply serving the Lord. That is his main interest. And if he overlooks the laws of Dharma and execution of his work, there is no loss for the devotee. He is not considered sinful because he neglects some of the rules in Dharma. Because he is serving the Supreme Lord out of devotion. So when one performs bhakti, of course, then all good qualities develop in the devotee. So whatever is in the best person in the material world should also be in the devotee. So one need not worry that this gives liberty for the devotees to commit all sorts of bad activities, sinful activities. No, opposite. They should be better than all the other people in the material world. So there's no real contradiction of terms, these different sets of rules. Here, Prudha Maharaj is instituting Dharma. And as the king, of course, he has to set an example of Dharma. So he is stuck a little bit because he also knows this law that one should not harm a woman, one should not punish the earth. At the same time, everybody is suffering because of the earth. So he gives a threat, I will cut you to pieces. And even if you die, it doesn't matter, because I can support the earth myself, since Prithu is an incarnation of the Lord. So he is higher than earth. So in this sense, there's no loss of anything happens to the earth. But for the normal functions of the world, the earth must exist and give prosperity, because Krishna doesn't stay there forever. To create a permanent situation, therefore, he would rather have the earth submit and yield proper grains, etc. So he makes this threat, and he supports himself by saying that if a woman is there, then she doesn't show compassion to the living being, then the king has a right to punish. So in this way he makes his threat. And then of course you see that the earth complies. Why? Because we know that the earth also is a devotee of the Lord, and Prithu is the Lord. So she also knows the position of Prithu Maharaj, and she submits to him as a devotee of the Lord. So she has her own reasons for not cooperating, but those reasons are now finished with, because King Vena is dead. So she should cooperate. And now she's about to follow the order of Prithu Maharaj.
At the end of the Kurukshetra, Bhima and Duryodhana were fighting. Duryodhana was very good at the fighting. And Bhima was very strong. But still Bhima could not defeat Duryodhana. Then Krishna told Bhima,
"Pull apart."
So Krishna was not there.
Get his legs.
What's
that?
But anyway, Krishna told Bhima to hit him on the
leg. Yeah.
So what do you say about that thing? Breaking the sexual law.
Yeah, because rules are there, but then the highest principle is simply Supreme Lord, whatever he says. So from one point of view, it may not be proper to hit him on the leg or whatever. But he's a demon, and he must die sooner or later. So then Krishna says, "Yeah, you hit him on the leg." That was his weak point.
Even Duryodhana said also they were not following the rules. Initially they were not following the rules.
Yeah, they killed Abhimanyu, etc. Yeah, so, nevertheless, we find that Yudhisthira was very hesitant to break any laws. In spite of the fact that the enemy broke the laws, he was not willing to. He really didn't want to break the laws. He was a little hesitant.
Yudhisthira Krishna asked him what the name of the elephant and the
Ashoka.
Krishna told me, Yudhisthira, he said that the Astama is there. But the name of the elephant is the
Ashoka.
Yeah. So, it is also one kind of lie, isn't it?
So, as I said, because the Lord gives the direction, and therefore, there's nothing wrong. Because the laws of Dharma are one level, but the order of the Lord is higher. So we don't understand what the order of the Lord is, or what the final goal of the Lord is. But if we follow, everything will be perfect.
Now there was a complaint about devotees from the people, they were not, some kind of complaint, I don't know what kind of complaint is there. They've been only for 6 months in the movement. And Prabhupada said, they're great devotees, they have fully surrendered their life to Krishna. And then they were complaining about the behavior of the devotees. So Prabhupada said, they have surrendered soul, they have surrendered to Krishna. Prabhupada said, they are also a great devotee.
Well, anyone who surrenders, even to a small degree, is considered special. Even up to a small degree, if someone surrenders, they're rare, because most people don't surrender at all. So anyone who begins the process of bhakti in any way is considered to be very special. Now, of course, if one's more advanced, it's better, but still, if one begins the process, that is also a good sign, very rare.
Srimad Bhagavatam ki
jai.
Thank you.